Wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. How did they know? How did they know about a special star? I've read through most of the Bible. I have a few chapters left. Maybe not even that much. It's coming close to the end, isn't it? But I look for certain things. And every once in a while I would see something and I'd make a special note of it. But there's not a lot written about this Bethlehem star. How did they know? Well, one of my favorite psalms, right next to Psalm 23, would be Psalm 19. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And I think that's so true. As we see the result of his creation, all that he has done, the sun rises, the sun sets, the beauty of the sun shining through the clouds and on the mountains, the last few weeks with all the snow that we had up on top of the mountain, driving over the mountain to see my dad at Sweetbrook, I never realized how beautiful the snow was on the mountains until this year. I thought as I went up there, when the snow comes and the roads dry, I'm going to take more trips over the mountain because it really is beautiful. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and certainly the earth reflects his glory as well. But then, John chapter 1, verse 14, John says, "We beheld his glory." For those who know Jesus, we behold his glory. For those who would look for Jesus, we behold, we see. The darkness is no longer there. We see his glory. We see who he is. We know. We don't understand how we know it, and other people can't see it, and they don't know it, but we know it. I couldn't deny it. And if you really know him, you couldn't deny Jesus because of who he is and who he is to you. We have seen his glory. One of the other things that I have noticed as I went through the Bible this year is a number of places where it talks about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 9, verse 10, Psalm 111, verse 10. And we even saw it this morning in Sunday school in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And these men are called wise men. Wise men. How did they come to this wisdom? Because within them of the fear of the Lord. They had that high degree of respect for him. I wonder about the small groups. Three wise men. Being a part of a group. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "A strand of three cords is not easily broken." And I'm kind of wondering about their small group meeting before entering into this adventure, what it must have been like as they sat there discussing the glory of Jesus that they had seen. His glory. "I think I saw a new star in the sky. I think we should go and check it out. I think it could be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." His glory. Perhaps they knew something of the scriptures. As Israel went out into captivity, first Israel in 722 and then in 586 Judah, went out into captivity, they took the word of God with them. And they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. The book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17. I see him. I see him, but not now. It's interesting, isn't it? Through the eyes of faith, knowing that he was coming, knowing that Jesus was coming. The writer says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near, because it would be thousands of years later. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Before there was even a king in Israel, the prophecy, this prophecy, had been written. And perhaps that might have been a basis for one of those studies, that these three wise men, I wonder when that star will come. I wonder when that king will be born. And how those two events, that star and that king, will be linked as history unfolds. The question for us today is, what star are we following? Oh, if you're an addict to people, maybe it's a movie star. You know, we talk about the stars, don't we? And there is a certain popularity. You know, some movie star, it doesn't matter if he has a brain or she has a brain or not. You know, they tell us what they think, and then everybody kind of, you know, follows along. You know, we follow movie stars, don't we? People who are popular. How about a political, we hear the term rising star, don't we? Doesn't matter which, they might be Democrat, they might be Republican, but oh, this one's a rising star in that party. And so we're all excited to hear what they have to say. And we put our hope in them. But then as I was thinking of stars, of course I thought of falling stars. Because so many, that's what happens to so many of these people. Because it's kind of a fading glory, isn't it? I am so tempted. I get a lot of my news over the internet these days. And if you scroll down a little too far, you see things like, what happened to your favorite child stars? You know, and horrible, horrible things, you know, or what happened to these beautiful actresses that had too much surgery? If you've never clicked on those buttons, don't. It is not worth looking at. But that happens to all of us, doesn't it? We went over it in Ecclesiastes 12 in Sunday school this morning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The days are coming. In fact, the last couple of weeks probably for some of us have been a little bit like that, haven't they? Have no pleasure in them because of this, all of the different bugs that have been going around. There were others who should have known what was happening. Others closer to the situation. And isn't that sometimes what happens? The people who are the farthest away are the ones who understand what's going on right here. You know, we've always marveled that the ones who are farthest away from church are usually the first ones to church on a Sunday morning. Probably because it takes planning. But all the people in this drama that we read about should have known what was happening. They should have known what was coming. But the wise men were the farthest away and knew the most about Jesus' birth. The chief priests were responsible to represent the people before God. Their lives should have been spent in the very presence of God. Yet when Jesus came, they had no clue. The scribes were those who were responsible for the Word of God. Day after day, they spent copying the text of the Word of God. Tradition tells us that Ezra could write out the first five books of the Bible from memory. We don't know if there were any scribes like Ezra back at Jesus' birth, but wouldn't you think that there would have been a few that could not only copy the scripture, But understand that Jesus was coming soon. I imagine they knew. They must have known some of the scripture, because when the wise men came, they were smart enough to realize that Micah 5, 2 through 4 told them, "But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be numbered among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth." The scribes, spending so much time in the Word of God, should have known. And then there was King Herod, so paranoid that someone would usurp his position that he had his own sons killed. Certainly he would be trying to kill the one who was born to be king of the Jews. But even after they were told by the wise men about this special star, it didn't motivate them to go looking for themselves. Instead, they were content to sit and wait until the wise men returned to tell them where Jesus had been born. But the wise men, I like that saying. It's on coffee cups these days, I think. Wise men still seek him. It's true, isn't it? I don't know who copyrighted that, but that's a great slogan. The wise men came to Jesus. And it's worth noting that they came across a desert. It might have been more comfortable to stay where they were. Apparently, they were men of means. They didn't have to prove themselves. They didn't have to go off on another adventure. But they could see something better across the desert. And there will be many deserts to cross. That was one of the messages of Ecclesiastes. There are going to be some difficult days, but there's going to be some good days as well. And Jesus will be involved in those good days. He's going to be there, and he's going to bring them about. There will be deserts to cross, but they didn't stay in the desert. By faith, they followed the star across the desert. For 40 years, the Israelites wandered the desert. All but two of the original group of people that came out of Egypt died in the desert. And they had the benefit of the presence of God in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Their faith didn't justify their sight. It was right there in front of them. All they had to do was follow. But because they were unwilling to obey, they spent 40 years and died in that wilderness. The wise men followed the path of Abraham, the founder of the nation of Israel and the founder of our faith. It was a promise that brought him across the desert to an unknown and unnamed land that God had promised to him. He could see that distant light. Even 1,000 years later, that light still burned as the wise men followed the star to Bethlehem, to Jesus. That light still shines in our hearts today as we look to the light of heaven and Christ's return. And it makes such a difference in our lives. One day this past week, I saw two ladies. And they were as different as night and day. One of them is the sweetest little old lady you ever want to meet. You know her, Ethel. She's in the hospital. Should have prayed for her this morning. Ethel has stage 3 kidney failure. And they've just discovered colon cancer. And on top of that, she has one of the bugs going around. And she has fluid in her lungs. And a wonderful smile on her face. Her sister died a few weeks ago. Her sister was 10 years younger. But as I visited with her in the hospital, she said, "You know, Pastor," she said, "I was the first one in my family saved." And she talked a little bit about her husband and different family members. And she said, "When I came to know Jesus, I felt called to share Jesus with my family." And she said, "You know, every one of them has trusted Jesus as their Savior." And all the while, the joy, just so evident. Ethel's going through a desert place. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her again here in church. Some people just have that attitude. You just never know. But I rejoiced with her and the salvation of her family and her love for the Lord and her knowledge of Jesus as her Savior. But it's a dark place. It's a dark day. It's a difficult day that Solomon would write about in Ecclesiastes. But then I went over to the bank and I was standing in line, and right in front of me was another lady who was swearing up a storm. And in fact, she was so bitter and angry. One of the tellers finally said to her, "You need to realize that there is a pastor standing right behind you." And I tried to just share a little of the joy of Jesus with her. She was not receptive. She was angry and she was bitter. And she was having a tough day. But what a contrast to someone who knew Jesus, who was in a very desert place, but knew the joy of the Lord, and is a very, very wise woman because she spent time in the presence of Jesus. I'm proud to know her. The wise people in this world still see the light. They don't have to be reminded that there's a pastor standing behind them in line. They have the light of Jesus in their hearts. They walk in the light and they're ultimately headed to the light that is heaven because Jesus is there. And we might be wandering around a bit right now. We might be feeling that things are not as good as they could possibly be. But we do know where we're headed. And we know that heaven is going to be heaven because Jesus is there. Just the same as the wise men knew that Bethlehem would be a special place because Jesus is there. And so they went through the desert to find him. And it doesn't matter what desert you have to go through. If you find Jesus at the other side, it's worth the trip. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We were born into the valley of the shadow of death. For many years we've lived in that valley, but there's light in the valley because Jesus is here with us. Because Jesus walks with us. And he's still with me. And he's still with you. His light guides and directs us into the path he has for us. Are we willing to follow his star? I woke up early this morning. I think because of anticipation, I always wake up a little early on Sunday morning. But it was earlier than usual this morning. And it was just like the Lord said, pray for the church. Pray for the people here that they might understand my salvation. And so I prayed for myself as well because I'm part of the church. To understand what his light might be and how his light, that light of salvation, that light of his presence can shine into my life and make a difference. No matter what desert we're in, that we have his light. No matter how dark the world gets around us, we have his light. And we still seek him. Are we willing today, like the wise men, to follow that star, to find his presence as we go through this desert? Father, we thank you that you lead us to yourself. The most precious gift that we could ever receive. Thank you, Lord. And I pray again for each one of us that we may know the greatest treasure that heaven has to offer. Not only once and for all, but daily as we live our lives in your light, following your light, looking forward to the light of your second advent. So bless us, Lord, as we seek to follow you. Amen.